and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Nurture and Support. I am Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter, though I'm sorry I haven't been there much lately. I'll be back soon, I'm sure. And as always, another roundabout hater, here's Kelly.
Yes, and I am on Twitter a lot, as many of you may know, at KELLYTHUL on Twitter. Glad to be back for another week. And so behind the scenes news for you folks. First of all, it won't come as a shock, is Mel typically does all the work related to Nurture and Support. This includes typically hosting. We do a Google Hangout. We record it, pull the audio. Mel works her magic to edit me out as much as possible, make me sound articulate if possible, and pushes it out. But because living a little bit of internet issues, and she's in Texas, where it's the land of floods and sinkholes and tornadoes and lightning strikes, we decided that I'd host the Hangout. So the cool thing is that maybe Mel's house might get hit by lightning during the show, or it might fall into a sinkhole. And if that's the case, I've got the video. So this will be awesome. But
yes.
I hope it doesn't happen, Mel, but I hope you understand if it does.
If it does happen, then my dying expletives will be broadcast on YouTube in eulogy.
Right. And there'll be a nice little eulogy. It'll run at the end, kind of a crawl.
Yes.
So
that will work. Oh, so I think on that uplifting note, it's my turn to give my recommendation first this week. And I hope that all of you have seen this movie, but I'm gonna do something I don't normally want to do, and that's tell you about something that's actually popular. I like to do the stuff that's not quite popular, but I just really loved this movie, and it's, hopefully you've all seen it, it's Mad Max Fury Road. Have you seen this yet, Kelly?
I have not, but basically I keep hearing from folks that it's the only movie that matters. It is incredibly awesome.
It is. It's very, very, very awesome. And it's very different from movies that you would think this is like. It's very different from the other Mad Max movies. If any of you have paid much attention to it, you've probably already heard that Charlize Theron pretty much takes this movie. She's the main character. Even though this is a Mad Max movie, Max is in the movie. He's basically just, some people are calling him her sidekick. Basically, he's just a helping hand on her road to redemption. He's actually, unlike in the previous three movies, he's actually crazy now. He's actually having visions. This they never quite tell you how far in the future this is supposed to be from Thunderdome, but he is actually having visions now of the people that he failed and who he's lost. And there's in particular a little girl who he has a recurring vision of. And so he's actually crazy. The very opening scene of the movie is what most of us have already seen in the trailers, of that cool two-headed mutated lizard in the desert. It's pretty neat. And Max's car. And that's pretty much the last time you see the car. The car, here's a spoiler, y'all. The car quickly gets taken away from him by the bad guys of this movie. So essentially what it boils down to is Charlize Theron's character is Imperator Furiosa. And any of you who are fans of the previous Mad Max movies know there are a lot of strange names for people throughout this franchise. And this movie is no different. So basically, she sort of steals something from the bad guy, Immortan Joe, and is in a big war rig, which is what Mad Max is about, is car chases and things blowing up and big revving engines and the desert. So they're racing across the desert because she has something that she's stolen from him and they want it back. And essentially, the movie boils down to her quest to redeem herself for the horrible things that she's done in service to this guy named Immortan Joe. And Max just kind of gets drug up in this in his attempt to escape after he has been captured by these people. And he just helps her in the end. He is not the main storyline here, which is really weird. And I think personally, the people that I went to see this movie with were not as enamored with it as I was. They wanted a Mad Max movie. They actually specifically told me they wanted Beyond Thunderdome when we left the movie theater.
Well, then they should have gone and watched Beyond Thunderdome.
Right. And I was like, well, we can rent Beyond Thunderdome. I enjoyed that movie too, but nothing ever led anyone to believe that this movie was going to have Tina Turner and Master Blaster in it. Okay. So this is not quite, while there is some humor in the movie, this is a full-on, crazy, action-packed, blow-em-up movie, basically from the beginning to the end. It's 2 hours long, and the action pretty much almost never stops. There's only very small, very brief break from the exploding vehicles and the gunfights and the chase scenes and all of that. So it's kind of a stressful movie in that you're basically high octane the whole way through. By the end, I was really tired, and I was actually kind of tired of the blowing up and the explosions. But it's really cool. And this movie, unlike most of movies of this type, and especially the previous Mad Max movies, is actually telling a story. And if you haven't seen it, I don't want to give the story away, but it's a good story. And it's unusual for one of this type to have such a female-driven story with Charlize Theron in it. And I'm sure all of you, if you've read any of the reviews, you've already heard that. I don't want to spoil what it's all about, but that it's really cool in that it's her story and it's not about Max. And that's basically what I really, really loved about it. Not to mention, it's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful movie. I love, no surprise to anyone here, that I love post-apocalyptic sort of things. And this is post-apocalyptic to the max, man. So it's got some beautiful shots in it, just some beautiful cinematography going on. And the more that I've read about what went into making this movie, you know, just the more absolutely impressed I am with it. I'm not really terribly familiar with what George Miller, the creator and director and producer of all the Mad Max movies, I wasn't really familiar with what else he has done. Do you know any of the other movies he's done besides Mad Max?
Once you mention them, then I'll say, oh yeah, I know he's done other things.
You'll be surprised. Happy Feet, Babe. He has made children's cartoons for little kids after Mad Max. That's what he's been doing all of this time.
That can't be good.
that's the cool thing about it. I read an article just I think this morning about it, that I didn't have any idea of any of this. He's 70 years old, and they were talking about how absolutely amazing it was. And I'll put a link to this article up. I believe it was on io9, and that it was amazing this movie ever even got made, and that it is as astonishing as it is, given that who is crazy enough in Hollywood to have given the new issue of Mad Max to a 70-year-old man who the only movies he's actually made lately are children's cartoons. He hasn't done another action movie since Beyond Thunderdome, which if you're under 20, you possibly have never even seen. So Beyond Thunderdome was actually made a very long time ago, if you want to actually look up the date. I don't remember what the date was, but somebody threw out a horrifying number like 30 years, and I don't see how that's possibly true, because I don't think I could be that old.
That would be, I don't know, it's possible.
I'm going to pretend I never heard that.
I don't know.
So, It's just, it's a great movie. It's a beautiful movie. If you like action and you're not going to get mad that this story is not about Max and it doesn't have a lot of naked chicks running around in it, if that's not going to make you mad, like it made one of the people I saw this movie mad about, then I think you'll really enjoy this movie. There's an actual story going on, and it is what we all loved about Max. A lot of action. There's a lot of very dry humor going on, and they've expanded the apocalypse to now include the lack of water. You know, the previous Mad Max movies were all about basically needing gasoline, fuel, things like that. Now they've expanded that into needing water to grow things and things of that nature. They've expanded the apocalypse basically for this era of what we now consider to be the ecological crisis that goes on all around us, needing water, the climate change, everything like that. So they've expanded that world in a good way. And I really just really enjoyed this movie. And I'd love to talk to anybody about what they thought about it after they see it. But I don't want to spoil some of the themes going on. I'm going to put up a couple of links in this blog post to some articles I particularly liked that delve a little bit deeper into the themes that were going on in here. Just little things to think about. But there's also a comic book series that's planned to tell a little bit more background information about what's going on here. Because when I left the movie, I wanted to know more about Furiosa and how she got to where she did. Because she was an actual, she was a high up warrior in this guy's army. And there weren't any other women who appeared to be holding this sort of stature in this. All of the people who you've seen on the previews, all of the shirtless guys who are white, they're called war boys. And that's basically who the army's made up of. They're sort of in a cult. They've made this whole cult around Immortan Joe. And these boys are running around happily sacrificing themselves in his quest for power. Because if they die with honor, they'll go to Valhalla and be reborn. So we have a big mixing of occult things going on here in his worship, as we've seen in previous Mad Max movies. So it's a cool story.
So is this the start of a franchise, you think, again?
Yes. The next one is, I think, tentatively titled Wasteland, Mad Max Wasteland. So they're already planning on another one. So this isn't a reboot of Mad Max, though. This is a continuation of Mad Max. So they're not pretending that the first three movies didn't happen. This is Max after those events. And Tom Hardy does a great job of playing Max. But you know, I was told someone really, really wished that it had been Mel Gibson. I was like, he's one crazy, and he's a little old to be playing this role now. So anyway, I was happy that he was not in it. Tom Hardy did a great job as Max, and I'm looking forward to what they do further on down the line with this, especially given just how amazing this movie was. George Miller, in reading a little bit about him, he storyboarded and actually drew most of the planning this entire movie out. You know, he came up with this story. He's been working on this basically since Beyond Thunderdome came out. This was his continuation of this story, and it's evolved over all this length of time. But there's a couple of cool things out. They're doing a comic book series to give you a little bit more background information. The Furiosa issue hasn't come out yet, I don't believe. I'm really interested in her backstory, but the first one deals about how Immortan Joe came to be and tells you a little bit more about the character Nux, who you'll meet. He's one of the war boys that you'll meet in the movie, who plays a pretty big part. So there's all sorts of cool stuff. There's also a comic book out that deals with art inspired by the movie. And I like post-apocalyptic art stuff, so I love that too. So I had to snap up all of these little things because I enjoyed this movie so much. But it's a beautiful movie just to look at visually if you like the desert apocalyptic sort of landscape. And it tells a good story with a lot of action. So I think it hits all of the different buttons. You can not care about the story, but just want things to blow up and neat cars that have been rigged together to run all over the desert and bash into things and explode, then you're set here. You're going to have all of that. You've got nonstop action. It can be, at least for me, even, it was a little bit too much. By the end, I was ready for a break. I was ready for it to end when we got there. I was like, okay, I need a break from all the explosions, and I'm thinking it's about time we finished. So it was a nice between not being too excessively long, but all of the movies nowadays you'll notice are at least 2 hours long. I don't understand that. I guess attention spans have gotten better since I was a kid, but at least it wasn't the 2.5 hour mark. But a lot of the action in this reminded me of Snowpiercer, I have to say.
There you go. Okay.
I loved Snowpiercer too, folks, as I told you. So there's a lot of one-on-one fight scenes going on. And I should mention that I thought it was really cool that not only is basically the main character, Furiosa, not only is she a woman, but she's also a handicapped woman. She has a mechanical arm, a steampunky mechanical arm, because this is the apocalypse. So I thought that was cool that we've got a woman and a woman who's missing an arm, who's doing her best to not only kick Max's butt, but kick an entire army's butt. So she does a pretty good job. So I think it's terribly, terribly fun and definitely worth a see. I need to actually go watch it again, which I don't normally do with movies that are in the theater because I think movie theaters are ridiculously overpriced. So.
Yeah. Sounds good. I thought I had just assumed it was a reboot. So it's very cool to hear it's a continuation.
It's a continuation, which is totally cool.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. So I definitely will. I'll catch it on. So Beyond Thunderdome, 1985. So indeed, 30 years ago. So sorry about that.
That hurts.
And I'm going to dwell on that, even though your recommendation was on a movie that was released just recently. You did mention Beyond Thunderdome, 1985, which makes my recommendation, which is 1997, 12 years newer.
There you go.
So from a math, that's the math I'm going to choose to use. And shocker of shocker, it's been a while, kids, since you've gotten an Alice Cooper recommendation from me. I believe I may have pitched to Mel, if you're going to buy an Alice Cooper album and you want to get started, From the Inside was an earlier recommendation I made. That was 1978, From the Inside. But I'm going to come back and say, if that's, because I don't think Mel's taken me up on that yet. So if you have it and you go to your Amazon Prime buying pod, whatever, how that works, what you might want to look for is a live album recorded in Mexico at Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo Club called Fistful of Alice. So instead of Fistful of Dollars, it's Fistful of Alice. The very kind of cool, desperado-y looking Alice Cooper on the cover near Cabo Wabo. It's a live album. It is, as dearly as I love Alice Cooper, his first live album is horrible. it's pretty bad. It was, he had been drinking a lot and they needed to put out an album, and they pulled it from the Lace and Whiskey tour for the most part. It's called The Alice Cooper Show. He's not a particularly strong voice, and the sound quality is not great. And so there's only about two Alice Cooper albums that I would always say, you could skip that one. But this becomes the first live Alice Cooper album that's definitely worth getting. And the cool thing about live Alice, now that he's not drinking so much anymore, or hasn't been for a long time, is songs that had punch when you heard them on the album, they just take a whole new life when you hear them live. And they're just just incredibly powerful. There may be another live album that's come later, past 1997, I may talk about in the future, that does some of this. But Fistful of Alice is a fantastic, fantastic live album. And it kind of skews Alice Cooper. There was the Alice Cooper group originally, five guys, and then Alice in 1975 left and became just Alice Cooper as a solo act, was Welcome to My Nightmare. This skews a little bit heavier towards the earlier Alice Cooper stuff, but there's some nice things. So it's great sound quality. Sammy Hagar, first song on it, School's Out. Sammy Hagar joins them on guitar for School's Out. Slash is also on the album, as is Rob Zombie. And got kind of an all-star cast. I expect they all like to go to Sammy's club and have some fun. But so really good quality, and the songs are great. So you get School's Out to start it off, and then I'm 18, so a couple of the big hits. And then Desperado. Desperado was on the Killer album, and Desperado was basically Alice Cooper writing a Jim Morrison song, and he kind of sings it in a Jim Morrison kind of way, but it's a really good song. And those were all original Alice Cooper group songs. Then we get Lost in America. Lost in America has always been one of my favorites because it has the lyrics that start off at the beginning. I make sure I get this right here. I can't get a car because I ain't got a job. I can't get a job because I ain't got a car. So I'm looking for a girl with a job and a car. And, and a little bit later on, it's like, I can't go to school because I ain't got a gun. I ain't got a gun because I ain't got a job. I ain't got a job because I can't go to school. So I'm looking for a girl with a job and a gun and a house with cable, which I just is, again, one of my favorite little kind of fun little lines sung in the typical Alice Cooper way. But so it's just a fun song. And Lost in America was on Last Temptation, which was the previous album to Fistful of Alice. And it's fun to hear it on the album because it's just a cool, cool song and it's a rocking song. But then you hear it live and it's 10 times better. It's just fantastic. So then Teenage Lament 74, which was off of Muscle of Love, original Alice Cooper group song, I Never Cry. Poison, which is a fairly popular Alice Cooper song. A lot of harmony in Poison, and they pull that off in a live setting incredibly well. And I've seen Alice a ton of times, and they do it live shows. The harmonies are awesome there. Only Women Bleed, Welcome to My Nightmare, and then Feed My Frankenstein. Feed My Frankenstein was co-written with Rob Zombie. And not only Rob Zombie, but a gentleman named Zodiac Mind Warp, which I believe is from the Zombie crew, Rob Zombie crew, Zodiac Mind Warp. I had never liked Feed My Frankenstein on the studio cut. Just never got super excited about it. But the live version has, you know, I've turned over a new leaf on Feed My Frankenstein. And it's actually Rob and Alice trading lyrics on it. So it's a very good, very good thing. Also some very clever lyrics in Feed My Frankenstein. Elected, another very super great song to hear live. And then that ends the live portion of it. And then he tacked on a song just for the live album called Is Anybody Home? Which is kind of a song about people being on the internet too much. And it's got almost a Beatle-esque kind of vibe to it. But it's kind of a fun little thing. It's kind of weird to kind of have this Beatle-esque studio recorded song about you're on the internet too much at the end of this awesome live album, but it's a cool song. So yeah. It is one, you get a really good, it cuts across a lot of the Alice Cooper catalog up till 1997. Sound quality is great. It's simply good music, song after song. You know, it just, I don't know how you can go wrong because it's like a greatest hits album, but it's live, it's recorded really well. You've got some pretty cool guest stars on it. And it's, you know, Fistful of Alice, what's not to like? So I'm going to kind of recommend that one. More Alice to come, folks, in future episodes. There's other good live albums he did after this. But I do think, looking across all of the work in terms of his live album work, I think this is the best one in terms of, in its part, I think the Rob Zombie inclusion was super cool. Slash, obviously a good guitarist, and that's really, really cool as well. So 1997, Fistful of Alice, And that's my recommendation for the week. And so that's where I'm now sticking, Mel, to say, if you're going to be your first, go into the Amazon pod and get Fistful of Alice. And then go, hey, that was really good. I liked that. So
it's got a cool cover. I'm hoping that's not the outside of Sammy's Club in Mexico.
Looks a little rough.
It looks like Mexico, but it looks a little rough. And those little kids carrying the big snake.
Yep. It's a cute. Yeah. It's awesome. It's Alice.
I do like the cover. Yeah.
Yeah. It is actually one of the cool covers. And then, so I'm a bit of an Alice fan, I kind of pride myself on keeping up to speed on what's going on with him. But somehow I missed that this was out and had been produced. And so one Christmas I received it as a present. And I had no idea this existed. and then I listened to it and it's like, oh, this is incredibly awesome. And so it was even like an extra special present, Bobby.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite Christmas present ever. So very, very cool on there. So that'd be my recommendation there.
All right. And I just checked. It is on Spotify, y'all.
Excellent.
So.
Yeah. Cool. Like I said, any one of those songs would be cool to listen to. It's good stuff. So I recommend it.
Nice.
Because Mel is underwater and in sinkholes and lots of other issues, her social media time has been limited. And so as we prep for the show, she felt it would be hypocritical for her to give a social media recommendation this week.
Yes.
So I'll give one. And this is a fairly recent follow of mine. The Twitter account is KR Copeland. It's at KR_COPLAND. This is another one of my hashtag buddies. So I love to play the hashtag games. And by doing that, you start to connect up with some people who are really, really good at it. And I've recommended some of those folks in the past on Nurture and Support. I'm prepared to say at this point in time, I think KR Copeland she's in the top three. She has to be. because not only is she incredibly witty, and the ones that I'm so amazed at the ones that she consistently comes up with, she often accompanies them with a graphic that captures it. So when it was, it is hard to do. And so like when it was like make them, you know, and I forget what the exact hashtag was, but it was matching up a movie and fashion, a movie and clothing. And she came up with scarf face. So instead of scarf face. And then there was the Scarface black and white logo with a scarf incorporated, which was just outstanding.
Wow. That's dedication, but, y'all.
Yes. But, and so just to give another example, and this was recent, the hashtag was hair a song. So you need to incorporate hair into a song. And her tweet was, you can't always get what you bouffant. And she found a nice bouffant photo to accompany with it. So just well done as always. So it's just, you know, bonus points for graphics on that. Mm-hmm. Her most recent one was on murder a song. People are strange when you're a strangler, which is, she is just really super sharp. So if you like doing the hashtag games, this is a follow because she is outstanding. So that's cool. My social media recommendation for the week.
I like to follow the hashtag gamers, but I'm not clever enough to do very well at that game.
I am slowly. I used to think I was good at it. You know, it's decent. I said, I can. I'm respectable. I can kind of throw some out here. And then I've just started to connect up with some of these other folks, and I'm like, well, I don't know. These are like three. You know, I'm okay, but this is like I'm not going to be starting. You know, there's a hashtag team. I'm on the bench. I might be first off the bench, but I'm on the bench watching KR Copeland and lots of other folks go at it. But they are fun. And so if you like to follow people who are good at it, I'd follow her. So
cool. I will do that. That's neat. So I think that wraps up this episode of Nurture and Support. We'll turn it over to Matt and our new and improved outgoing message. If you never listened to the end, you might want to listen to it. And we'll be back next week, hopefully, unless I fall in a sinkhole.
That's right. And if you do, you know, try and get the camera started.
I'll try to video it.
I'd appreciate it. It'd be good. Hopefully not, but thanks everybody for listening and looking forward to catching up with you again next week.
Bye, y'all.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com, or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter. You can also catch Nurture and Support on YouTube. Just search Nurture and Support or Kelly Toole.
Nurturing and supporting giants.